Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return once again to right and injustice
that
we've rendered upon our poor listeners.
You're so dramatic.
We have overlooked a large portion of both our work and our listeners and what they do. And we are here to correct that wrong today as we are doing yard haunts and displays, giving it the proper attention it deserves, especially as many of you are, I'm sure, dragging the stuff out of storage and preparing to set up for the new year.
Yes, I've seen a few people who have already started decorating.
And many others who are planning and asking for advice and positioning. So we're here to do exactly that.
Yeah.
Because it is roughly half of what we do.
Yeah, it is.
We don't think of ourselves as yard haunters, but I think our yard haunt probably gets more eyeballs than the interior of the haunt.
Yeah. I would say that that's definitely true, A, because it's outside and it's open longer.
Yeah, it's open longer. Everyone who goes through the haunt sees the display.
Right.
And then there are multiple people who see the display but not go to the haunt.
Right.
Ipso facto, transit of property A equals B equals C. We can establish that our yard haunt is seen by more people than our inside haunt.
Yes.
We're just way more proud of the inside haunt. That's what it comes down to. But yes, we are going to talk about yard displays this week and we're looking forward to it. But definitely let us know what you think. We want to hear your tips and suggestions on this, too.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely hit us up. HauntWeekly.com is our website. HauntWeekly on Twitter and Facebook. TinyURL.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel, where you can listen to this and all past episodes very easily. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, wherever podcasts are distributed. You'll find us. We're in all the places. But anyways, first, we've got to do our conference reminders. It is an odd-numbered episode. You are the oddball. Crystal, please do the honors.
Okay. September 14th through the 16th, it is Scarefest, the rebirth, in Lexington, Kentucky, at Lexington Convention Center.
It'll be so sad when this gets pulled off next week, and we can't do the rebirth every time.
Guests include Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, Joe Bob Briggs from Monster Vision, and Sid Haig as Captain Spaulding.
Yes.
TheScareFest.com for more info.
All right, after that, on September 29th in Houston, Texas, the Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show, Part 2. It'll be at the Crown Plaza Hotel, Brook Hollow. There are still some vendor slots available if you wish to do some selling. It is hosted by the Scary Dad Podcast. It looks like a lot of fun. NightmareRetreat.com for more information.
Okay. September 29th.
Same day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's Arizona Haunts Haunted Swap Meet. It's in Phoenix. It is in the northeast corner of Earl Drive and 15th Ave.
E-A-R-L-L Drive.
There's an extra L.
There is. It's wrong.
Hosted by the Arizona Haunters Forum, azhaunters.com.
For more. All right. And if you go to azhaunters.com, go to their calendar. That's where they have the info, by the way.
That's good to know. We should put that in the notes.
Yeah, we probably should. That'd be smart of us, but screw it. We're not smart. We act like we're smart people. All right, after that, November 9th and 10th, after haunt season, now you might know, for some weird reason, there's a gap in conferences that covers the month of October.
I have no idea why.
No clue. By November 9th and 10th, in Champaign, Illinois, it's Dark History and Horror Con at the Grand Hotel Urbana. Tickets are $20 for the weekend or $10 per day. Includes a film festival, dhhcon.com, for more info.
Okay, November 9th and 10th, it's Legendary Haunt Tour in Salt Lake City, Utah, at the Holiday Inn Express. They will be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others. LegendaryHauntTour.com for more info.
Then, January 25th through the 27th, in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo. That sounds awfully close.
It does.
It'll be at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center, and it will be featuring us in some capacity. I have put in a couple, actually it's a trilogy of talks I'm doing, but two of them are like mutually exclusive. I can only do one of those or the other. So I may be speaking up to two things. May not be invited at all. That's fine too. I don't really care. I'm just happy to be going to HauntedCon.
Yes.
And happy to help any way I can. We will definitely be doing something. We'll figure all that crap out after season, though. HauntedCon.com for more info.
All right. February 23rd and 24th, it is HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California, the Fairplex. Not much info right now, but you can check out when it becomes available at HauntX.com.
Whew, that's a lot of conferences.
Yes.
And definitely looking forward to HauntCon again. Very, very excited about that. Really going to be an awesome time.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. It's that time of year. We all know it. We all get it.
Yep.
Everyone's working on their haunts. I imagine my vision right now is that if you're listening to this, you're in a workshop or a garage or somewhere building things, or you're in your haunt putting up walls.
Or you're at work, you know, thinking about your haunt but not able to work on it because you're at work.
And this is just making you more and more mad, and you should probably stop for your blood pressure spike, and you know you're on blood pressure medicine and this isn't good for you. I might have taken the vision a little far.
A little.
Okay. But regardless, everyone's working. Just rope it in.
Yeah.
But you're working on your haunts, and we've talked a great deal about pro haunts and home haunts, but yes, we have neglected the yard and display haunts, I think a very vital part of the haunting community, and this is an injustice, because it's kind of weird. This is a huge part of what we do.
It is, and it is the most accessible thing for people to do, especially if they do trick-or-treating being in their neighborhood.
Yeah, this is a huge part of not just what the haunt community does, but what we do personally. So it's like, whoa, you know, we open our main haunt in late October, mm-hmm. 3 nights, 9 hours. We always talk about that.
Right.
But our yard display goes up in late September and is up pretty much the entire month of October and then early November.
Yes. Basically until we recover enough to take it down.
Yeah, one day, sometime in early November, we wake up from our drunken celebratory stupor and go, oh, yeah. You gotta tear down the yard display.
Yeah.
All right, get the hammer. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just put Santa Claus hats on everything and call it Christmas.
You know, we've actually thought about that, and see, think about New Orleans real fast. Is from between Halloween happens, then you slide into Thanksgiving, then you slide into Christmas, and then here in New Orleans, you slide straight into carnival season.
Yeah.
Which leads into Mardi Gras. And then, depending upon when Valentine's Day falls that year, you could extend it further. But yeah, so you can theoretically keep your display up and just redecorate it for 6 holidays.
Yeah.
We've not pushed it that far.
No, we've gone... we did do a Mardi Gras display one year with the skeletons.
We did make something very different for that. We actually did make something new.
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty cool.
It was taken down and put up.
So. Taken down and put up that year. But still, you could theoretically do that.
Yeah.
We have not tried it, but we're not going to because we like keeping our neighbors happy. But yeah, so we're already planning our display here this year. We're making some big changes we'll be talking about later on. Because, and one thing to impress upon as we talk about our display is the yard we use, is rectangular shape with a longer side fitting the road and the door to the right.
Right.
And when we describe the light tunnel coming up in a minute, that leads from the road to the front door right there on that side.
Yeah.
And then the side actually used for the display is pretty much a square.
Right. And we do have some daytime photos that we could probably include in the show notes or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'll put it on the Facebook, probably be easier, because Podbean's WordPress implementation is not the best.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we'll figure out a way to get some of those daytime photos to you guys. So yeah, check out Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Facebook for those. But yeah, every year, though, this means we essentially have two haunts.
Right.
We have the inside haunt, which is for the adults and the bigger kids. It's meant to be very scary. Blood, guts, the usual shtick, dead bodies, all that stuff. And then we have the yard haunt, which we try to make more comical, I want to say. We try to keep it lighter, more humorous.
Yes.
And the other thing is that while the inside haunt changes theme every year, the outside haunt has maintained theme for the past 6 years or so.
Yeah, it's been the Skeleton Circus Carnival for a little bit. And it kind of fits with the Bernie Baxter name.
We're doing a traveling sideshow. The whole haunt, like the marketing of the haunt, centers around a sideshow type theme.
Right.
So it makes perfect sense for us to have a skeleton carnival theme.
Right.
And like I said, it's more comical than scary. I mean,
yeah.
Here's just a smattering of our inclusions over the years. The world's worst juggler.
Yes. He cheats.
He cheats, yes. He uses clearly not hidden at all wires to juggle his pumpkins.
It's
by design. The worst tightrope artist in the world.
Yes, she's afraid of heights.
And so she's only like 4 inches off the ground.
Not actually, even that.
What's the height of a cinder block? It's that high off the ground.
Yeah.
I think it's like 6 inches, actually. Yes. It's not much off the ground at all.
She's still falling and trying to hold an umbrella.
Then the world's worst strongman who is attempting to lift, failing to lift, the lightest barbell you can fathom.
Yeah, basically the styrofoam pumpkins are at the ends of the barbell.
Yep. And then we have a ringmaster on a horse, even though he's actually dressed like a ringmaster.
Uh-huh.
He actually looks just pretty cool and badass.
He
looks very disapprovingly upon his very, very crappy circus.
Maybe we should put a motor in him to make him shake his head at the rest
of it. Get a wiper motor. No.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
Then we have the giant 15 to 20 foot ringmaster. We change the height a little bit every year depending
upon
weather and other factors we're going to go into.
Yeah. Last year he looked more like a Jack in the Box, and I think we're going to continue that.
Yeah,
this
I like
year.
The Jack in the Box
so
theme
it's,
form.
It's like a giant clown.
Yeah, thing. And it's fitting because with that he's actually coming out of a box.
Yeah.
So like I said, we're going to discuss more details of how we do everything in a second. We also have, we skipped the bicycle jumper, I apologize. We have a skeleton doing a rad jump on a bicycle.
Yeah, people love that.
Yeah, they do, and you know what, we kind of put it up out of desperation that first year we did it.
I just thought it would be cool.
It's like, we had a corner with nothing, and we're like, well, we've got these pallets, we can make some boxes, what do you want to do? And just have them jumping from box to box, and...
Yeah.
And we had a metal pole and had a spare bicycle. I think we bought it for Ellie's son, and he grew out of it before we could get it to him type thing.
Well, no, it came with her. It was his, but he grew out of it before he got back.
And we had we took a pedal, which, by the way, taking a pedal off of a bike... Especially if it's rusted, is way more difficult than it sounds.
Yeah.
I was surprised by how difficult that was. I thought that was just going to be a wrench in 2 seconds, but
no.
It was not. Yeah, but we set that up and it looks really cool. It's probably the most popular thing we have.
Yeah.
Even though it was one of the quickest and biggest rush jobs. We also have various projections we do on the display in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
We have fallen in love with a lot of those projection bulb systems.
Yeah. Last year we didn't use them quite so much. I'm not sure we're going to be using them so much this year, but we'll see.
But one of the things we have found use for is like the flame lights and things like that for illumination.
Yeah, and one of the things to consider with that is if you do have a giant prop with a lot of fabric, you can put it inside of it to light it from the inside out.
Yeah, and we've done that with the projections on the giant Jack in the Box more than a few times, and it looks really badass.
Looks like he's made of fire.
And we have, of course, we have the 30-foot light tunnel, which this is the tunnel, like I said, that leads from our front door to the road.
Right.
And it's about 30 feet long, give or take. I think it's actually 28, so we're slightly exaggerating, but, you know, reasonable. And basically, this is a 360-degree year encompassed by lights as you walk up to the front door.
Yeah.
It makes coming home every day in the evening really fun for about a month and a half of the year.
It does.
Because you get to walk down that to go to the front door, and no one else gets to until Halloween night. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have other odds and ends. We've done tombstones in the past. We've done other things. So, you know, there's more to it. Those are the big things.
Yeah, we started out with graveyard scenes. We moved away from it.
Yeah, we moved away from it. Partly because we finally got our skeleton collection up to size.
Right.
So, and that raises the question, how do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is, it's been a lot of trial and error with this.
Yeah.
More so than with the haunt itself, I think.
Right.
And that's one of the weird things, is we have found there's a lot of great tutorials and how-tos for things inside the haunt.
Right.
You want to know how to distress a wall.
Yeah.
You want to know how to do panel-based construction, things like that. There's great YouTube videos all up in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yard haunters, it seems we have to do a lot more trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah, it is harder to find things for it. If you have a suggestion of where to find, you know, tips for yard haunts, we're listening. We're at Haunt Weekly.
Yeah, we're Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
Bing! Three plugs.
Yes.
Gonna go over the record.
Anyway, but yeah, it is a lot of trial and error. I can't tell you how many times we've built the giant, the first, it wasn't the Ringmaster first, it was Big Sexy.
Yeah, we had every year we would build a giant monster. We built monsters, and most of them are just people-sized, but every year one of them we would build, we call it Big Sexy. We would it'd be at least 10 feet tall, usually taller.
Yeah, it'd be over the top of, it would be above the roof line.
Yeah, of the house.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right, multiple times we came home to find it not above the roof line of the house, and instead in the yard.
In the yard, probably on top of something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first thing I want to give is the best tip we have discovered for yard haunting. This has been our savior. This has been our lifeblood for the past 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Big Lots greenhouses.
Yeah.
I think we've mentioned them a few times, once or twice before, but seriously, they're on sale right now. Stupid cheap. We need to go check and see if the price has come down. This reminds me.
Yeah.
We were waiting for the price to hit rock bottom.
Which is about $10 to $15, yeah, depending on.
They're normally like, I think, $60 or $70 or something like that. But if you catch them right like as the summer's ending, that stuff will drop to like $10 or $15, and they are fucking magic, man.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You're going to open up that box. You're going to see all these pipes. You're going to see all these connectors. And you're going to see an instruction booklet.
Yeah.
You take that instruction booklet and you throw it right the fuck away. You're not going to do anything with that.
Yeah.
You're not building a goddamn greenhouse.
Right.
You're going to build other stuff.
I think we did that the first year.
Yeah, we did it once and realized it was stupid because the greenhouse pattern they give you is ridiculously, it's great for a greenhouse, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want to use the cover that comes with it.
If you want to use an actual greenhouse.
It's a great set of instructions.
Yeah.
But if you want to build haunt stuff with it, no, you can throw that stuff away.
Right.
Basically, you've got a Tinker Toy set for adults.
Exactly. It's made of metal and plastic.
And weather-resistant and weatherproof, and it's great, and you've got, like, hundreds of pieces for $10.
Yeah. Now, I will say that because we do, if you're doing any kind of tent setup, that these greenhouses do work great for that. You build the greenhouse, you put the cover on it.
Yeah.
You put your animated prop inside of it, so it's weatherproofed, because it's underneath the plastic. We did
that
this.
Was something we did 1 year. We took we didn't have a place for the dancing Santa we made into a serial killer clown.
Yeah.
This was one of the most messed up things we've ever done in our lives, honestly, for haunting.
It made me so happy.
And that's the reason it's one of the messed up things. But yeah, we took it, we built one in the greenhouse, we put the plastic cover, and then we put circus fabric over the plastic cover.
Right, right. I sewed a tent to go over the top.
And basically, we had this dancing Santa in there, and he's put a knife in his hand, we dress him up as a clown, he's there boogieing, he's going to stab people. And then we switched him to Spanish mode.
Yeah.
And so every time someone's like, oh, we turn up the volume, and he's singing Jingle Bells in Spanish.
Yeah.
It's like he's on stab people.
It's really weird.
It's really terrifying in a very strange way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can't use it that way. But basically, don't worry about the instructions.
Right.
You're not going to really use them.
No.
The main thing is these are outdoor-ready metal. They will not rust unless you leave them in standing water for a long period of time. They are super easy to get in because the poles are fairly small.
Right.
It makes them easier to hammer than PVC.
Yeah.
And you can attach things to them trivially with the connectors.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah, you can make pretty much any shape you want because you can put things at all sorts of weird angles because they give you weird angle pieces.
They give you 45 degrees or so.
Yeah. Now, it is hard to find connectors for these pipes.
Yes.
So you have to pretty much come with
You have to take what you get because we've multiple times tried to go to Lowe's or Home Depot and find like the PVC connectors for them.
Right.
They don't go down that small in plumbing.
Right. But they are actually really sturdy little pipes.
I know. I'm very impressed. We've never had one bend or break on us.
No.
I mean, if you step on one, it'll bend, but that's your own goddamn fault at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're great also for helping to stake your posable things in the yard.
Yes.
and they're dark green.
So. They will blend in effortlessly into the yard. It's exactly. Really, really great. Which brings us to how we do the skeletons.
Yes.
Long story short here is we buy the Pose and Stay skeletons everyone else does.
Yep.
But we buy them all after Halloween. We have never paid more than $20 for one, I think.
Right.
And we own about 30 right now. Yeah. What we're up to.
Yeah, and Home Depot's price right now is the cheapest that we've seen. We have not been to Target yet.
No.
But Home Depot has them for $24.99.
Yeah, that's a really good in-season price.
Yeah.
Considering Spirit, I think, has the exact same skeleton for $50.
That's what everybody else has them for. Home Depot's the place to go for this.
Yeah, I feel bad for our local Spirit because they are literally in the same shopping center, just perfectly opposite the parking lot of Home Depot.
Right.
And so a couple of times we've actually had this happen where we've gone to Spirit, we bought a few things, and we went to Home Depot, and we saw the exact same thing for half the price or three quarters of the price or whatever. We go, we return the thing to Spirit, then go to Home Depot and buy it.
Yeah.
So
we've done that with lights because Home Depot didn't really step up their game until a few years ago.
Yeah.
So the first time we finished our Spirit run and then went into Home Depot and saw the giant display of all the awesomeness.
That was the year they had the horse the first time.
Yeah. And that was when they first started carrying the flame lights and stuff too. The projection lights.
Yeah, Home Depot has really become the place to go for Halloween props in some ways. Especially the cheap ones.
Yeah. Especially outdoor.
Yeah, outdoor stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But long story short, take the Pose and Stay skeletons, use the aforementioned greenhouse stakes to pose and secure them. Don't forget lots of zip ties.
Yep.
And boom. You know, there's trial and error here.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I can't count the number of times we set up a skeleton and we walk away to move to something else.
Right.
And that skeleton falls over like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
And previously we had used PVC. To secure the skeletons, which is what a lot of people use, and it's perfectly reasonable to use it.
PVC is great because it is weatherproof and all that stuff, too. It's also fairly cheap, and you can get the connectors for it.
Right.
We've just fallen in love with the skeleton, with the greenhouse because of the color and because of the abundancy and how cheap it is.
Right, and because the smallness of it makes it really easy to hide behind, like, a leg of a skeleton.
Yeah.
Because it's smaller around.
These are half-inch, like, diameter tops.
Yeah.
These are small, but they're very, very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've had a lot of trial and error here. That's what I just say do is try it and figure it out how it works.
Yeah.
We've used PVC before. We use the metal. And we still use PVC if we don't have a proper-sized metal piece.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, something isn't the right size or shape that we need, we'll pick up PVC for it or use some of the scrap PVC we have floating around.
Right. And one thing, whenever we were doing the graveyard scene, the first year, first gust of wind came out, and we came outside, and all the tombstones were in the neighbor's yard. The way to get around that is put PVC or some kind of stake at each side.
Yeah.
Run zip ties through the front of the styrofoam and around the pole.
This is a good time to get a zip tie that's a same or similar color to your tombstones.
Right.
And we've actually managed to find lots of gray zip ties before.
Yeah.
It's not impossible.
Right. Yeah. So that's, and also real quick with tombstones, one year, a really easy way to enhance it is to go and buy potting soil, because right now that's on sale, and put a little bit of dirt in front of your tombstone because it'll make it look like a fresh grave.
Yeah. That I remember the first time we did that. And we just had leftover potting soil from doing a repair that our dog had done.
Yeah.
And so we took the leftover potting soil and was like, well, what are we going to do with this? We don't want to store it. It's potting soil. And kind of the garage is kind of busy. So
yeah.
So we just took it and dumped it in front of the graves, and then it looked awesome, and people started getting really worried about our front yard.
Yeah.
The light tunnel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's made up of greenhouse parts. Basically, we've come up with our own design for that.
Mm-hmm.
We build, like, the outer part of the greenhouse without the shelves, basically.
Right.
And then we just use fewer support pieces because it's not carrying as much weight.
Yeah.
And the result of that is we can take, like, three of the greenhouse kits, would only make 15 feet if we built it the way they specified.
Right.
But doing it our way, we can get the full 28. In fact, we can get a little further if we wanted to, but that'd be going into the street, and that'd be bad for cars.
Probably. I'm probably getting in trouble for that one.
Joggers, we complain they're getting clotheslined as they go by the sidewalk. It'd be bad. I'm just saying. So we keep it to 28.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, even though it's the easiest build in many ways, because it's literally just Tinker Toys
right.
and zip tying the lights to them.
Yeah.
It's still a full day build.
Yeah.
We wake up one Saturday morning and we're usually plugging in and switching on right as dusk is.
Right.
Nope. That's probably the longest single project we do with the haunt, but it looks so cool. My God. Larger projects, such as the Jack in the Box we mentioned and the jumping bicycle dude, either use pallets or wood, though we're getting away from pallets.
Right.
The reason is they just don't last.
Right, they don't last, especially here, because... One of the things you have to keep in mind is in New Orleans, this season is rainy and windy. So they're going to be in standing water for off and on for over a month.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep that in mind when you're picking what you put in your yard.
Yeah.
In this climate.
Yeah. And basically one of the things we did after the last season was we took out the reciprocating saw and broke down 5 pallets to throw away.
Yeah. City wouldn't take them as pallets.
No.
Which was interesting.
And interesting, no one else took them either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we cut them up and threw them out. So we've been moving to ground contact 2x4s and fence boards are really, really cheap. And now at Home Depot, you can get the double treated ground contact 2x4s.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the actual benefit is.
Yeah.
I'm no lumber expert, but yeah, you can get the double treated ones, and it's all fairly cheap. And basically, we have found that works year after year. The box we made for our Christmas display, the Rare Exports box, which is also the base of our Jack in the Box, was made entirely out of ground contact 2x4s and fence board, and it has lasted perfectly for
almost
4 years now.
Yeah,
almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
No damage, no issues at all.
Right.
And that's much better than the 2 or 3 years we got out of those damn pallets. So it's just, yeah, it's more expensive up front, but it saves time, saves money and time over the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing you could do is you could make a frame using the ground contacts and then use the boards from the pallets, take a saw and cut off the boards if you want the creepy weathered look of the pallets. But
yeah, and
not
that way you're
headache.
Keeping that actual wood off the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah. As far as the layout goes, this is Crystal's area, actually. I'm going to let her take the lead on this one.
All right. So these are pretty basic ideas. Put your larger props at the back, not at the front of the yard. So it's easier to see at all angles. And this is more for a static, not a walkthrough.
Yeah.
Cause
it also works for walkthrough because you have to think front and back of field.
Right. But you just keep in mind where you're placing things because it's going to be hard to see something really small if it's behind a really big prop. One trick from art school is that people follow faces and fingers pointing. So if you have, we try to put something at the edges that looks into the middle of the yard. And you can actually ping pong your faces from one side all the way to the other. And that way it gives people their eyes a clear path. Because if it's just everything going every which way and there's all these faces, then people don't know where to look. So then they're not going to see everything. Obviously put more detailed and smaller props at the front. You want them to see the detail, especially if you put work into it. Theming a display makes it more interesting. I don't particularly like the yard displays that are just like a showroom floor because it's kind of like haunts. I prefer to see things that go together. And there are tricks for hiding lights and poles.
Yeah.
And I've seen recently, I think on Haunters Hangout or a DIY haunt group that I'm in, someone was building tree stumps to hide their lights under.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually trying to make some like circus balls to hide the lights under this year.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's going to work or not.
Well, another thing, you know, you can always do is since you have smaller props at the front, you can hide your lights behind the smaller props too.
Right.
And if you lay out and point your lights correctly, you might not have to build anything special to hide your lights.
Yeah.
And we found that works fairly well.
Yeah.
As for providing power to all this, the best piece of advice I have is don't be me. Like, ever.
Yeah, that's probably good advice.
Power for us is always a pretty bad challenge because we only have power outlets on one side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
The side of the house furthest goddamn away from the light display, of course.
Yes.
Just of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't see that one coming? So we have roughly 500 feet of extension cord of different stripes and sizes. We have 2 50-foot cords. I think we have about 10 20-foot cords.
Yeah, it's a lot of cords.
It's a lot of cords. Be sure to get 3-prong garden cords. Do not
get the little
little knot
brown indoor,
which we might have used more than a few times.
Maybe, especially the first years.
Yeah, especially the first years. I may have been shocked more than once trying to assemble displays in the rain.
You may have.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun.
No.
But I suffered no ill effects from it. I suffered no ill effects from it.
I knew you were going to do that.
But long story short, be thinking like that. And also, one thing I didn't put in the notes, but I definitely want to add, is all outdoor lighting, go LED.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
We have a few. In fact, we ended up taking out... One of the tricks we did when our light time, we had the pumpkins with the lights in to hang.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply took out all the incandescent bulbs they had. They had those little incandescent units.
Yeah.
We pulled them out, and we got ourselves a couple of strands of LED mm-hmm. Christmas lights, actually. White Christmas lights.
Right.
100-footers.
Yeah.
And we run those bulbs in there.
Yeah.
Rather than using the incandescent bulbs that they did have.
Mm-hmm.
Much better system, I find.
Yeah, and that's good if you have pumpkins anywhere.
Yeah.
You can replace those bulbs easily with little LEDs you put in the back.
Yeah, and especially the ones we had, they were meant to be hung from gutters.
Mm-hmm.
So they had clips on them.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is clip it in the back of the pump, clip it in the back of the pump, and go down the line.
Yeah.
It's time consuming, but it's so worth it. Because A, you get a much brighter light than those incandescent bulbs will give you.
Right.
It's using a lot less power, so it's going to save you money.
Right.
And it's also a lot less current flowing through all this.
Yeah.
So if you do wind up getting a minor jolt from your lighting,
mm-hmm.
it won't be quite as bad.
Oh, also with the pumpkins real quick, something that we forgot to put in there. Spray paint your friend, because if you don't want all of your pumpkins to be orange or black, spray paint's fun.
The Krylon Touch.
Exactly. Krylon Touch is awesome.
Right.
And then that light that you were just talking about picks up the color that you've made your pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something else we've had a lot of fun with, where you can paint the inside of the pumpkin. You can use spray paint
mm-hmm.
to coat the inside of the pumpkin. It takes a minute, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the result is a white light will now appear orange or
blue
or green or whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can make it look that way.
Mm-hmm.
The concerns we've had to deal with our display, one is security.
Yeah.
Rough estimate, we have well over $1,000 worth of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Is it the most expensive yard display ever? No.
No.
Largely because we do build a significant percentage of it.
Right. And we don't have a large yard.
We don't have a very large yard. Fortunately, we've had no real security issues.
Mm-hmm.
Still, since you're putting your smaller items near the road, make sure that they are attached or locked. Either they're attached and locked, either the very heavy objects... Cinder blocks can be your friend here,
mm-hmm.
or to ground stakes, like the dog stakes. Now, my advice here, buy your dog stakes on Amazon, not Petco.
Yeah.
They're like $10 on Amazon. The same stake will run you probably $30 at a pet supply store.
Right.
And they can theoretically hold up to 100 or 200 pounds of force.
Mm-hmm.
And combine that with a chain and a lock, it makes it very difficult to get rid of them.
Right.
And the other thing about the dog stakes is that they basically disappear into your grass. They disappear into the ground.
Right.
They're almost invisible.
Yeah. And you can also, I know we don't do this, but a lot of people actually build a fence around their display that fits the theme of graveyard or spooky whatever.
Yeah. But even then, anything within arm's reach of that fence could theoretically still be stolen.
Yeah.
And it's not like those fences can't be broken through.
Right. No. They're usually just PVC.
Usually just PVC and foam, which is great. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not a security fence. Never forget that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have done that with our... with our items. Remember, though, that all security is just a matter of delay.
Yeah.
If no one's watching or looking at it, it doesn't really matter how much security you have,
mm-hmm.
because this a determined thief can still get it. That being said, don't buy Master Lock, kids.
Yeah.
Just have faith in me on this. Crystal is rapidly becoming a very good lock picker. I've been at the hobby for over a year now.
Yeah.
Pretty much every Master Lock you buy at a Home Depot or a Lowe's is a joke to get into.
Yeah.
They may provide decent physical security, but they can still be open. And like the MD50X, I keep saying it wrong, that we have, it's a beautiful looking puck lock, secure, bore and carbide shackle, all that great stuff. I can pick it 20 times in a minute.
Yeah.
That's how terrible that lock is. So be thinking about that.
That's the one that when people take notice of us picking locks in various places, we're like, here, we can show you how.
Pick this one. I can't pick that. Sorry, no. Just, and they're usually in it with never having touched a pick set in their life. They're in 5 to 5 minutes.
Yeah. Tops.
And so, but yeah, we don't secure the items further back. They're bigger. They're heavier. They're not likely to go anywhere. The only thing we worried about in the back getting stolen was the horse.
Yeah.
And we did take some precautions with it.
Yeah, we basically put it next to the door into our bedroom window so that we could hear it.
Hear it, and also it was it had to be attached to cinder blocks and things too to keep it from blowing over in the gust of wind.
Yeah, it was attached to the house.
It was attached to stuff that wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing we really did much with. We do set up a special security camera to watch the display 24/7. We also put up a sign about videotaping in progress as a deterrent, mostly. But the other thing we have going for us is our display makes the street significantly busier.
Right.
And with so many people passing by the house at all hours of the night, you don't have as much of a problem.
Yeah. Well, and I think also because we do this and the neighborhood loves it and understands that we're doing something, people tend to leave it alone.
Yeah.
They want us to keep doing it. So they know that that means not taking stuff.
Yeah, my theory is that if anyone does steal from our display, it's less of a theft for money or for to have that in their display and more a theft because they're mad at us.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened.
That has not happened.
No.
The big enemy, our real enemy, has always been wind.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wind is the mortal enemy of our yard haunt and many others. Props off the lost to theft in 13 years is zero.
Yeah.
Props lost to wind is a non-zero number.
Yeah.
I can't even really begin to count. October is a very windy month in New Orleans. We have to prep for 15 mile per hour winds as a baseline.
Yeah.
You're going to see them over the course of the month, even without tropical weather.
Right.
So when we do build taller props, we make sure to overbuild them. We use metal spines on things when we can. And the reason is, the big enemy with the taller props in our yard especially is not necessarily that they get blown over,
right,
but that they twist.
Yeah.
And metal resists the twisting much better than wood. And we also cut holes and do strips and fabric to reduce how much wind they catch. And they just look cool when they're blowing around like that, too. It's kind of badass.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to the bigger props.
Yeah.
So that it looks full, even though it's got all these holes to let the wind through.
Yeah, exactly. The main thing is you just don't want to create a parasail that takes off.
Yeah.
But yeah, weighing down things is good. We do weigh down these larger props, but like I said, the twisting is a problem. And it's really bad for us because our house faces almost due north.
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, most of the wind is going to come from the west.
Yeah.
Going west, going toward the east. That's where we get our fronts from. And the result of that is you have issues with like our jack-in-the-box twisting that we have to find a way to counterband.
Right.
Rain is an issue. It's mainly a problem for the electrics. If we buy good garden cords, make sure all our electronic props are outdoor friendly, combine that with other weatherproof materials. Yeah, it's not a big deal. We've lost a few cheap props to rain and standing water and whatnot, but we've never really had a major problem. One thing that we found that helped us is getting the stakes so that the plugs are off the ground and they're not in standing water.
Yeah, and those are usually in the Christmas section.
Yeah. So it's really weird. They like give us stuff, like give us like lights and stuff for Halloween displays, but they never sell us the practical crap you need it to do it safe in the Halloween section.
No.
You got to go to the Christmas section,
right,
to get that done.
Yeah, and we've bought several of those things after Christmas because they go on sale really cheap.
Yeah, like I think the last round of yard stakes for power we got were like $3 each at Walgreens.
Yeah, for three plugs and a stake and
So we started using those, and that's made our electrics work much more consistently. And
If you don't have that, zip tie your cords off the ground.
You can use PVC again. It's just as fine.
Yeah, or onto a prop.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty trivial to do. And the other thing we have a lot of problems with is stupid people.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem with thieves yet, knock on wood, going back to that. Mm-hmm. But we have a huge issue with stupid people.
Yeah.
People that decide they want to do a photo op with one of our props and go traipsing through our property, even though there are tons of cords, tons of smaller props.
And signs saying, please don't do it.
And we have lost a couple of, I think we have, only real damage we've had was to one of our projector lights one time. Someone knocked it over and damaged it. This really is only a problem on Halloween night when the main haunt is open and at its busiest.
Right.
Our front of house crew and our signage discourages it. But you can't stop everyone. We're changing the way we do the haunt, the yard haunt, to address this particular issue.
Yeah, we're actually making a photo op, which is something you should consider. We've wanted to do one for a while, but we didn't think of it actually being part of the display for some stupid reason. So we're making a path to put in a photo op.
Area. Mm-hmm. And no major damage. No one's been hurt yet, but we're trying to make sure that never happens.
Yeah.
Things to consider when planning your own display. The big question is, do you want it to be a drive-by / walk-by? Mm-hmm. Or a walk-through.
Yeah.
A drive-by is much easier to build. It only has to be seen from one view. It's easier to hide things. You can do the ping-ponging between the eyes much easier.
Right.
You don't have to think about it like theater and the round stuff.
Right.
It's easier to run power because you don't have to worry about how you're going to get cords over the space that the people will be walking.
Mm-hmm.
And that also just makes it safer.
Yeah.
However, a walkthrough does give a pretty unique experience. I have loved all of the walkthrough yard haunts I've been to.
Me too.
And it's also a great way that if you have a big yard and maybe not a lot of stuff, to make the display appear much bigger than it is.
Right.
So here's some things. If you're doing a drive-by from our history and our experience here, one, still have a very clear boundary around the display. It could be a fence like you mentioned.
Yeah.
We have used a ring of stake lights.
Yeah.
Because they also provide great light for those props right up close.
Mm-hmm.
But have some kind of clear boundary. Set up signs telling people not to go in it, please.
Mm-hmm.
You need that even if you do have a full fence. Just trust me.
Yeah.
There's morons be moroning. And keep things out of arm's reach from the edge, typically about 3.5 feet or so, where they just can't trivially reach in and touch or mess with it. If you're doing a walkthrough, all that stuff still applies.
Yeah.
But make sure your trail is prepped, safe, and lighted.
Yeah.
And make sure you have signs for the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you indicate that it's a walkthrough and they don't know where to go to do the walkthrough, they may decide to walk through your display.
Yeah.
Because never underestimate the stupidity of people at your yard display. Really, that's what we should title this episode.
Yeah, I think that trail haunts that we've been on, the ones who used rope light and some kind of different path in order to light the entire path that you were supposed to stay on were my favorites because it made it really easy to see where you're supposed to go. And those are not that expensive.
No. And if you're doing a yard haunt, you could probably get by with just a couple of strands of it because you're not going to have a huge long walkthrough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you may.
You may, depending on the size of your yard, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. We're a suburban yard at the end of the day. We got our standard half-acre plot, and that's about it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, what we're doing this year, and we've sketched it out, and we've got the big idea in place, is we're doing something of a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted... It's going to be a drive-by functionally, but it's going to have a photo op in the middle. We're going to turn the display in... Like I said, we have a square space.
Right. This, rectangle.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace.
No, it isn't.
The shape of our... No, it's not.
No. No.
Squarespace wants nothing to do with us.
Well, if it was, they should be sending us money. But no.
But anyways, but we're going to turn it into a sort of a fat U.
Yeah.
Where you can go in a bunch of feet... And there'll be a bench and a place that you can take a photo op with the display and have the props in the background.
Yeah, probably the giant.
Yeah.
Jack in the Box Ringmaster clown thing that we talked about.
Just a few minutes ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure our banner is somewhere visible in the area with the photo op, too.
Yeah, in fact, the clown master will probably be holding it.
Yeah. So, yeah, long story short, we're doing that. That way there is an area they can walk onto and get the photo op. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will deter people from trying to walk into display.
Right.
Because we don't want to do a full fence. That doesn't really fit our theme.
Right. We don't want to do a fence, and we don't want to do a... Basically, we don't want to be assholes to people who want to come by and see the things.
Yeah.
So... You know, they have spoken. They want a photo op. So
we want a photo op with a big clown dude.
We're building a
photo
op.
We're arranging it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be a giant U. That also makes it so that I don't have to figure out how I'm going to power this.
Right.
Because it's still a continuous area for me to work with.
Right.
But, yeah, so it works well for me. It gives the kind of the best of both worlds. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Plus free promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Another consideration is how long are you going to have it up?
Yeah.
We typically put it up last week in September, leave it until the first weekend of November, or whenever we get out of our drunken stupor from that post-Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighborhood may not have that level of patience.
Yeah.
It may have more patience. There's been a letter circulating the haunters groups on Facebooks. Someone got an anonymous letter from a concerned parent that the adult was taking Halloween away from the kids, which I... Bull crap.
Yeah.
You're giving the kids something to do for Halloween.
Exactly. You're just looking at it all wrong. And of course, there's always news stories about people going too far with their displays. So keep that in mind, too, how your neighbors will react.
It comes down to be smart, be respectful.
Yeah.
Don't be a dumbass.
Yeah.
Bear in mind also, this is a good rule that I've implemented over the years. Check your display every day it's up.
Yeah.
This is a big one. Look for any damage. Look for any issues with wiring, bulbs out, etc. Because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't always need a cause. It doesn't always mean a stupid person went walking through your yard. It doesn't mean you had a windstorm.
Yeah.
Things fall. Things happen. Life goes on.
It could also be cats and dogs running around.
Living together. Mass hysteria.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah, but I mean, things just happen. So what I do is when we have a display up every night, I look at it with the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure all the lights are on. There are no lights out, no sections where the electricity is obviously not running anymore.
Yeah, or sparking.
Or sparking or causing fire hazards or whatever. And then every couple of days, I get out there and I check everything thoroughly in the daytime for any structural damage.
Right.
Specifically there, I'm looking for the posing of the skeletons, the horse, the jumping guy, and of course the Jack in the Box. I'm looking to see if everything is structurally well.
Yeah, I think the tightrope walker is the one that has the hardest trouble standing.
Yeah, it's mostly because she's trying to be a tightrope walker.
Well, yeah, and she's on one foot and the other foot's in the air.
Yeah, that's a very difficult balancing act, even with stakes.
Yeah.
This only takes a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have an advantage here because Ellie, when we ride with her, she parks in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go anywhere and we come back in the evening,
mm-hmm.
I'm literally just right in the front of the house when we come home. I'm able to look at everything.
Yep.
And I guess that's one thing we didn't mention is that we use a timer system.
Yeah.
Because now that we are using LEDs, we're able to wire everything off one outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it silly easy just to have one of the, once again, Christmas timers.
Yeah.
To activate the display. God, I hate that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to be, eventually they'll catch on and make them in, like, black. So, for people at Halloween.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to make the outdoor timers green anyways.
No.
Because those are going to be hanging off the house or where the outlet is.
Yeah.
That's not a green place anyway.
No.
Anywho, that's neither here nor there.
Somebody with a greenhouse is going, well, mine is.
My dark greenhouse, it blends in perfectly. I mean, you're proud of me. Fuck off. But also, the final thing is, while the display's up, keep a very close eye on the weather conditions in your area, please.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in, like we are, in an area that's prone to fairly severe weather at the time of year.
Yeah.
Watch it closely. You may need to quickly bring things down or inside. Really sucks when it happens. We actually, one of the reasons we did not do all the garbage horror reviews last year was we got hit by a tropical storm.
Yeah.
And the tropical storm necessitated, because it was hitting as we were leaving to go to Atlanta trip.
Right.
And so before we left for Atlanta, we had to go in the yard display, take every caulking thing down that was taller than 4 feet.
Yep.
Bring the skeleton in, bring the jack-in-the-box down, bring the dude on the bike down, pick up a lot of the lighting stuff, and then chunk it in the front room of the haunt, which is where we were shooting those reviews.
Yeah.
And by the time we got that room piece back together, season was over.
Yeah. Exactly.
That sucked. It sucks when it happens, but it does. But you know what? It's better to take it down and have everything be okay to go through the hassle than to leave it up and have things not be okay.
Yep, I agree.
Because that, even though we did not get hit by that one directly, it turned away from us, it still produced enough wind. It could have severely damaged the display, so I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that covers our history and our views on most things related to your yard and haunt haunts. Yep. Anything else to add?
No. We will be posting the picture, the daylight pictures, probably as a comment to this episode on Facebook. And we encourage you to share yours with us.
Yes, please do. It's at Haunt Weekly on Facebook, and it's Haunt Weekly on Twitter, too. Fortunately, Twitter doesn't really let us do that.
Yeah.
But yes, we are also at hauntweekly.com. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Once again, be whisked away there to see all of the lovely past episodes where you can go through them. And also iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, everywhere else. They find our podcasts are distributed. They haven't kicked us out yet. Don't know why, but they haven't.
Not complaining.
But once again, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 145, talking about yard haunts and displays. We will see you next time when we are hopefully going to do the retail breakdown for 2018. We would have done it this week, but we didn't get the target yet.
Well, they just put it out and we got people in town.
Yeah, so it's not our fault, but retail wrap up is coming up next week. See you guys then.